The U.S. government orders workers to leave Shanghai amid the worst COVID outbreak since the pandemic began. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Just days after making it optional, the U.S. State Department is now mandating non-emergency workers to leave the American consulate in Shanghai. But it comes as the country's financial capital begins to slightly ease its strict mitigation measures that have caused widespread food shortages in the city. And while daily COVID infection rates remain high at more than 20,000, there has been a slight drop. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell then explains why the U.S. has moved to shift its policy on consular staff so quickly.
Well, you can imagine what it's like to try to survive at the moment in Shanghai, where it's hard to get food and other supplies. We've just heard from the Chinese Foreign Ministry complaining to the US government about this decision. I guess that's because Beijing thinks this makes it look like this is a situation out of control. I mean, the main problem in terms of the food and other supplies has just been there aren't enough delivery drivers.
Now, the government has said that it's going to start loosening some of these restrictions in Shanghai. But how big of a shift is this, really? How loose can restrictions go in the near term?
So the authorities are trying to ease tensions in that city by saying, okay, if your housing community has had no cases for 2 weeks, then you'll be able to move around your immediate neighborhood. The problem is that those who have been the beneficiaries of this have gone and walked outside in the streets around where they live, and then within half an hour or so, they've been told to go back because suddenly somebody's discovered a case in the area, and they're all confined to home again.
So the health aspect is one part, but economics, of course, as we've been discussing for the last 2 years, is another big part of this equation for a lot of governments making decisions about lockdowns. I mean, how much do you think that factors into the decision to sort of say that they're going to start relaxing restrictions in Shanghai? Because already we've seen internationally crude oil prices have fallen because investors are expecting less demand out of China as people are forced to stay home.
You know, it is interesting because Li Keqiang, the premier, who's the number two leader in the Chinese government, warned today about the mounting downward pressure on the Chinese economy of this crisis. And yet the government has not moved towards changing its zero COVID strategy. I mean, I was talking to someone today I know who's a manufacturer in the Shanghai area. He's saying they can't get orders in even in the future because people don't know for sure that they'll be able to deliver. I mean, the pressure has got to be enormous on the Chinese system, and yet, for political reasons, they're not moving away from this zero COVID strategy.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Good to talk to you.
Checking the numbers now, stocks across Asia ended their session mixed today with European benchmarks at this hour down in the 0.3% to 0.8% range. The DAX in Germany, though, is down more than 1% as shares of the country's two biggest lenders, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, are losing between 8% and 9%. That's amid reports a single investor sold large stakes in the companies. To Sri Lanka now, a country in the midst of one of its worst economic crises in decades. People have taken to the streets in recent weeks to express their outrage at rising inflation. Today, the country's central bank said it'll temporarily suspend foreign debt payments to instead focus on essential imports. The BBC's Anbarasan Etirajan reports.
Sri Lanka's foreign exchange reserves dropped below $2 billion at the end of March, and the country is struggling to afford food, fuel and medicines. About $4 billion of foreign debt repayments are due this year. The government is due to start talks with the International Monetary Fund for a loan program next week. Sri Lanka is facing its worst economic crisis since independence from Britain, with rolling power cuts and import curbs. The worsening shortage of basic supplies has triggered protests across the country, with the demonstrators demanding the resignation of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa. The government has appealed for calm.
That's the BBC's Anbarasan Etirajan there. European nations are still scrambling to diversify their energy reliance away from Moscow. Italy, which receives about 40% of its gas from Russia, has, though, inked a major deal this week with Algeria to increase the amount of supplies it gets from the North African nation. But Russian gas is still continuing to flow through Nord Stream 1, the main pipeline from Russia, which brings supplies into West Pomerania, one of Germany's poorest states. The area is home to the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline as well. The project, now mothballed, has had an impact on businesses accustomed to gas money and affordable energy, as the BBC's Ajit Niranjan reports.
Lubmin is home to two pipeline projects that bring gas into Germany. The more recent of these, Nord Stream 2, was almost ready for business when Russia invaded Ukraine. Now Nord Stream 2 has been suspended, and a fight over payments means residents are unsure just how much longer gas will keep flowing through Nord Stream 1. Tilo Ziegert runs a catering company and food stall on the Lubmin beach. It's one of several local businesses that has profited from the gas pipelines.
Nord Stream 1 brought all of us here in the village relatively far because we were all indirectly involved somewhere during the construction phase. If Nord Stream 2 doesn't come, then there'll be cuts. Then there'll be an end.
Sonia Bader, who runs a local bed and breakfast, is one of many Lubmin residents who had opposed the pipeline from the start. Germany is now so reliant on Russian gas that even those who didn't want to be now depend on it.
Personally, I'm afraid we won't have any more gas, no gas at all, because that would mean I would have to close my guest house for good. I only have one fireplace left with which I could heat the house.
On a sunny morning in Greifswald Market Square, the pipeline itself received a mixed reaction.
Closing the pipeline is the stupidest decision that could have been taken. It's been built, millions have been spent, and it's just silly not to use it. Of course I am very worried about the war, but it can only be stopped by maintaining cooperation with Russia, not by cutting off all channels.
It's a common response, but many locals still see the pipeline as a moral failure, one that the war has thrown even more sharply into the spotlight.
For me, it was a Trojan horse that doesn't belong here. It needs to be fought.
I found it a good decision to stop the pipeline. I wasn't a fan of the project anyway, for many reasons, including the environment.
For now, it looks like Nord Stream 2 is history. But as calls for an embargo on Russian energy grow, local residents are waiting, along with the rest of the world, to see whether the gas will keep on flowing.
That's the BBC's Ajit Niranjan reporting there. Finally, a lawyer in Egypt is suing the Arabic language remake of the American television drama Suits, which starred the now Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle. The suit, filed on behalf of a luxury tailor in Cairo, alleges the production company has not paid for the actual suits and other clothing worn by the show's stars. The company has denied the allegations and said it will countersue for defamation. The Arabic version of Suits has been a hit this Ramadan, a period when TV companies broadcast their biggest series. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.